welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we will conclude looking, at least in this particular aspect, an overview and spiritual lessons to be learned from the book of Jonah. Where we were at is we see at the conclusion of the book in chapter 4, Jonah was very angry and displeased, and he prayed unto the Lord. He was being honest, but he was not in a right spirit. His heart was filled with anger towards the Lord. He did understand God's character. There's a beautiful testimony that he declares God's slow to anger, quick to forgive. He's of great kindness. He repented of the evil he was going to do. But today, let's look now at how God begins to deal with Jonah. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And in verse 5, he goes on, so Jonah went out of the city. He lets him reflect on that for a bit, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till to see what would become of the city. And here we see that he's being watchful. He wants to see what's going to happen. And beloved, there are times in our Christian walk when we have to just sit down like Jonah after we have obeyed him and just wait upon the Lord to see what he will do. And of course, it's always worth waiting on God. And then we see, let me just read now verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Obviously, this was a supernatural growth. He has great joy. He'd obviously been depressed and mournful, but God provided a gourd, the New American Standard says a plant, which was probably a castor oil plant whose large leaves provided welcome relief from the sun's heat. And its swift growth was an act of God. It was supernatural. And God did it for two reasons. One, as a physical relief from the sun, there was a shadow over his head, gave him physical comfort, but it also delivered him from his grief spiritually. It showed that God was mindful of his condition, his emotions, where he was at, and he was ministering to him. And then, let's read verse 7. It was a short-lived pleasure, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And beloved, what can we see in this? We see that every visible thing that we see around us, everything we're familiar with, it's constantly changing, isn't it? We're bound to the world of time. It's stamped our lives with uncertainty. And nature, although governed by God's dictates, is constantly changing. The seasons pass from one season to the next. Kingdoms of the world are constantly changing. All earthly things shall wax old and they'll pass away like a garment. But there's one unchanging thing, praise God, the Lord and His Word, which shall never pass away. Remember Jesus 7, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of God's Word. And what can we learn from this, beloved? We see that in a time of trial and testing and loss, God's purposes are still at work. No matter where you find yourself today, God is still in control of your life. Even if you feel like you've lost it, you're out of control, trust the Lord, that His hand is on you, and as you turn to Him, He'll give you resolution, He'll give you comfort, He'll give you wisdom and understanding, He'll give you provision. Just look at the state that Jonah was in. I mean, he obeyed God, but he was so angry that God did what He did. These were his enemies, and he wanted to see them punished, not spared. Yet, God in his mercy allowed that gourd to grow and give at least a short-term respite from the heat of the day and to show his loving kindness to him. And we see that in verse 8, let me read that. It came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." He had really had, he'd come to the end of himself. And when we experience overcoming trials, sometimes I know there's been times in my life that I felt that way. I said, "Lord, I don't know if I can take any more. You said in your word, you won't give us more than we can bear. But Lord, I feel like I've come to the very end of myself." And you may have felt that at times in your Christian walk. You might be feeling that way now. But beloved, the scriptures tell us that where our heart is, there will our treasure be also. And are our joys bound up in our circumstances instead of God? And if that's the case, that's what's happened to Jonah. Just like Jonah, you might find yourself wishing to die rather than live. And it's so easy to be more anxious, concerned about our blessings and gifts than the giver of the gifts. Now Jonah had physical suffering added to his moral depression. It says that he fainted. He was like the seed that didn't have depth of earth and withered away when the scorching sun fell on it. Remember that, the parable of the seeds? David said, "I had fainted." Even David would have fainted. What? Unless what? What's the rest of that? "Unless I had believed. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And beloved, if we have no faith in God, we have nothing to save us from fainting in the time of trial. And if you're growing faint and thinking there's no deliverance, what is Jonah telling us? Only believe. The word says he gives power in Isaiah, he gives power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 9, God asks a very pointed question. God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." My goodness, he's got an attitude problem, doesn't he? And then, as we read the concluding two verses of this chapter, as well as the book, there's a silencing argument from the Lord. Let me read them to you. Verse 10, chapter 4, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" What is God saying here? He's talking about his sovereignty, that God has a right to do as he wills. But an arrogant, prideful heart questions this right. It shows displeasure at God's dealings, because the carnal mind and the arrogant heart cannot comprehend God's purposes. How presumptuous, beloved, to think that the purposes of God should be subordinate to our reasonings, to the reason and logic of men. Paul's argument is conclusive. "Who art thou that repliest against God? Shall that which is created say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Well, we know the answer to that question. So we see God displaying, as he did to Job, his sovereignty, and also, secondly, the need for compassion and love. God used the plant as an object lesson to teach Jonah this important truth. If Jonah was justified in being so upset about the loss of this plant, to whose existence he had contributed nothing, it was simply a blessing of God, was not God justified in showing love and concern for the people of Nineveh, whom he had created? And they were as babes. I mean, they didn't know their right hand from their left. And of course, he was referring perhaps to the children. If the population was about 600,000, if there were 120,000 children. And not only that, it shows God's compassion and concern even for the animals. He also made mention of the livestock. This is the God that we've served, beloved, a God who wants to be obeyed, a God that will use us in spite of our weaknesses, our infirmities, and a God who wants to display his heart of love and compassion to us, that we can be adequate representatives to all the world that God is a loving God, no matter how wicked, how evil, how God hating our lives or a person's lives may have been. I'm telling you, beloved, God can change the heart. He can make us willing and beautiful disciples of His grace and mercy. All we have to do is yield to Him. We have to learn these lessons and understand that God wants us to be those vessels of honor, vessels of righteousness, obedient vessels who will bring glory to His name. Let me close in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank You. This time has just flown by, but I ask You to imprint these lessons from the book of Jonah upon our hearts. Help us to be obedient. Help us to understand Your heart of compassion and mercy. Give us the strength, Lord, to be obedient, no matter how difficult the task, that we might be faithful ministers, a faithful testimony of who You are in this earth. That's Your purpose, Lord, that not only for our salvation, but that we can show forth the loving kindness of our God. Lord, I thank You for it in Jesus' name. For the word of the Lord would say, my beloved, I am jealously watching over you. I'm moving in your behalf in ways you can't perceive. Rejoice in my words this day to you, for I will put my anointing upon you to bless me with your praises, and they shall be as keys that open doors of victory for many. Your acts of obedience have been as keys that have opened the doors of victory for many. Your acts of obedience have thwarted the enemy in his plans. He would many times have desired to destroy you, but he could not, for I have been your defense. Fear not, for I am a wall of fire round about you. Even now I've sent my angels to help you to overcome the forces of darkness. My angels shall watch over you and will deliver you from the desire of the enemy. Praise me, my beloved, for I love you with an everlasting love. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, this time has just flown by, and I do invite you to write, share those prayer requests, and tune in next time as we share the Lord's presence and His goodness, as well as His word. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.